Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
This morning I want to share with you a story from my time from working in the funeral home. And if you don't like these types of stories, you know, this might be a good time to go and grab a cup of coffee. But I'm not going to, it's not a graphic story by any means. But as you can imagine, life in the funeral home can be very interesting. It's always fun when you watch TV shows that try and depict the life of life in the funeral home. And you've probably watched shows like this and you thought, that is not how it happens in my place of work. Right? So, I mean, when I watch these shows, I actually just recently started one called The Casketeers, and it's a funeral home over in New Zealand. And surprisingly, that one was very close to the reality of life in a funeral home. But sometimes when we watch these things, we just never know exactly what's going to expect. But this one particular day, we had a young man that had come into our care, and he looked rough. And if you've ever been with somebody, when they pass away, you know that when people pass away, they don't have their hands folded and they're just laying there looking all peacefully, right? I'll be the first to say that death is not a pretty thing. It can actually be, depending on the circumstance situation, it can be quite ugly. But this young man comes into our care and he's looking quite rough. He was going to need a lot of extra attention. And I knew that his mother was very anxious to be able to see him. So immediately, our team went right to work to get him prepared for his mom to see him. She had told us about a specific tattoo that he had on his face. And she says, can you please ensure that that is covered up? I didn't know the story behind the tattoo, but I knew that for whatever reason, mom wanted this particular tattoo to be covered up. So the team and I, we went to work and we completed our work on him. He was dressed. He was resting in his casket. I looked down at him and I thought to myself, wow, he looks good. I went to go get my colleague to help me assist me in transferring the casket from the prep room into the chapel. And I'm getting back there and I'm all excited. And I say to my colleague, look at him. Doesn't he look good? And he's obviously not sharing the same enthusiasm as me. And he looks up at me and he said, Chad, he's dead. And I said, yes, but look at him. He's resting there so peacefully. Chad, he's dead. Why do I tell you this story? This is the reality. This young man was laying there in a casket because he was dead. There was nothing that I could do or my colleague could do to bring this man back to life. I was able to get him dressed. I was able to make him look good. I was able to get him comfortable in his casket. I was able to do all of that cosmetic work on his face. You could look down and it would look like he is literally just sleeping. But the thing is that these were all things that I was able to do. However, what would not change this scenario? There was no life. He was dead. Now, thankfully for us this morning, this is not our story. Or is it? What is the condition of our hearts, of your heart? Where are you today with Christ? Today, we're going to be starting on a 7-week series. It's going to take us right up until Easter. We're going to be talking about the work of Holy Spirit. So for the next 7 weeks, we're going to look at different roles that Holy Spirit plays in our lives. And each of these roles are active to those of us whose spirit is alive. Our spirit is brought to life through Holy Spirit. So this morning, we're going to get an understanding of Holy Spirit, our regenerator. So to help us to understand this, we're going to look at a couple of passages that we find in Scripture. But when you look up the word regenerator, what does it mean? What it means is to come into existence or to be formed again, to recreate, to make over in better form. In our society today, recreating or making things over is becoming a growing trend. People are trying to find items that they are able to repurpose and be able to use again. People are looking at things that were defective, that were dead, that were unusable, or even considered an antique. And for those, some people, they go on to YouTube. And I mean, it's amazing what YouTube is able to teach us nowadays. Anything that we want to learn, we can simply type it into YouTube, and there will be like multiple videos that will come up. In many places, a common trend right now is to find these old barns and take the old barn boards off of it and recreate something. We see people creating furniture, signs for their home. They're repurposing this for a lot of things. And I see some really cool stuff that comes out of this, but I also see some really healthy price tags associated with this stuff because we know that it comes with a lot of work. So some people have moved even into making these things like a hobby or a collection. People are looking for those vintage items. We just moved into this home over here on Bolt, and we have a room downstairs that we have considered the vintage room. When you walk into this room, it still has the brown panel board siding. It has those blocked mirrors, you know, with the gold going through it. It still has the old-fashioned dry bar. And Kyle and I thought, well, since we're becoming vintage, we put up our wedding picture on the wall in there, right? Because it's a vintage item. And I did a little research just to find out, because even my mom was talking to me about this, and she says, what's the difference between vintage and all this? So I looked it up. Anything that is about 25-ish years old is considered vintage. Anything that is considered to be 50 years of age or older is considered retro. Anything that is 100 years of age or older is considered to be an antique. And the value of that antique is only there if there is a demand for the item. So you could have an item in your house that's 100 years old and considered an antique, but it's only worth something if other people want it, right? So as we know, styles even keep recreating themselves. I think that we should go to people, you know, because we see how clothing trends come back. We should go to people and say, treat me like I'm somebody from the future. That 80s look that you're going for did not work in the 80s, so don't try and recreate it today. Let's not bring back the fluorescence and the spandex and all of that sort of stuff. Amen? I look at spandex as a right, not a privilege, and no man has that right. Sorry, that's a bonus for you. But each person here has been created in the image of God. The fingerprints of God are all over us. Thankfully, through what Jesus did on the cross, we no longer have to live this way. We have Holy Spirit, our regenerator. As we just learned from the definition, it means to make over into a better form. Are we allowing God to make us over in a better form? Before Jesus left this earth, he told the disciples that he had to go, but he would send us Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will be with you. Holy Spirit, as I mentioned, has several roles. And today we're looking at Holy Spirit, our regenerator, the one who recreates, the one who makes us over in better form. So this morning we're going to start by looking at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read from verses 5 to 11. It's going to be on the screen. It's being read from English Standard Version. And it says this: for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. So this is the life of living based on your needs and your own desires. These are the things that I want. That's what Paul is speaking about here. As human beings, we crave the sinful nature. It's how we are wired. When we're living in accordance with the flesh, we do what we don't want to do. And this is what Paul even spoke about in Romans chapter 7. He says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So continuing on, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Where is our mind? Are we dead or are we alive? For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So now it's no longer I who do it, but it's the sin that dwells in me. And Paul continues to reiterate this as he shared it in Romans 7. Continuing on, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. This is the regenerating work of Holy Spirit in us. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It says, those who have been saved, even though the mortal body will die and decay, the Spirit is alive. If the Spirit of him, the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the regenerating work, the Spirit of God. So this morning we're looking at Holy Spirit, our regenerator. Father, we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. I thank you that right now, even in each of us, you are speaking. And I pray that our hearts and our eyes and our ears would be open to hear from you this morning and to listen to your voice and respond the way that you are calling us to respond. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together. I pray that you would continue to guide us through this message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So the conversion of an individual is the most powerful thing that will happen to an individual in their life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. If it were not for the regenerating power of Holy Spirit, we would not be Christians. We would not be able to identify ourselves as being Christians. When we invite Jesus to come into our lives, that is the point of conversion. We are turning our lives over to him. At this point, Holy Spirit comes into our lives and breathes new life into us. We were dead, but we have now been made alive in Christ. In John chapter 3, this is the second passage we're going to look at. Nicodemus engages in a conversation with Jesus. It's evident that he's been hearing some things. He's witnessed some things. The people around him have witnessed some things. And he's looking for some answers from Jesus. It's important to know that when Nicodemus is coming to Jesus, he isn't just coming for himself. He actually steps forward as the representative of those in Jerusalem who had witnessed all of the work of Christ. So he's a representative of the rabbis, the teachers of the law, the people. These were men who are trained and specialized in knowing the law. So let's look at the discussion during this meeting found in John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. They hear his teachings. They're not disputing that he is a teacher. And they even go on to say that you are a teacher come from God. They believe that he has come from God, but based on the way that he, by the way Nicodemus is speaking, he's not still fully certain or believing that he is the Messiah. He says, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Again, God is with him. He's not believing that he is God. He's not believing that he's the Messiah. But Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So unless that man is regenerated, formed again, recreated, made over by Holy Spirit, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man, when he is old, or how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So as you read this, you might think that there's a little bit of a pushback or perhaps even some sarcasm coming forth. It could be viewed as being either reflective or Nicodemus being a little bit cynical. He's basically saying, really? Can a man crawl back inside of his mother's womb and be born again? Me, who came out at 7 pounds, now I'm about 200 pounds. I can't crawl back inside my mother's womb. He's kind of being a little bit cynical and doing a little bit of a pushback. But Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. To be born of water is to be baptized. This is the act of going down into the watery grave and coming up alive in Christ. This baptism is different than what's done at infancy. In our church, here in the Pentecostal church, we believe in baby dedications. We bring our child into the house and we dedicate this child to God. It is similar to what was done by Hannah when she brought Samuel into the temple and she dedicated him to God. God had blessed her with this little boy, and she was offering him back to God and saying, I will commit to raising this boy the way that you instruct. Some other churches will practice infant baptism. The parents will bring their baby into the church. The minister will sprinkle them with water. It's referred to as a baptism. We refer to this as a dedication. 1 Samuel 1:28 says, so I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. As a parent, we commit to raising our child the way the Lord instructs. The child will then make their own decision as they grow up in regards to Christ. So for example, when Kelsey and Hallie were born, we dedicated them to God, knowing that when they were of age, they would have to make a decision to be born again. They would also be responsible for making the decision to be born of water, baptism, and the Spirit, inviting God into their life and having a relationship with Him. We still good? Understand that? Continuing on, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born again. You must be spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Nicodemus is still not understanding what Jesus is saying to him here. But Jesus answered him. He says, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So all of this was being explained to him, but he was not getting it, or he was making the choice to not understand it. Jesus is telling him that what I speak of, I know what I'm speaking about. I have witnessed all of these things. You are choosing to not believe our testimony. He has seen miracles take place on earth and is choosing to not believe it. So how will you ever believe heavenly things if you can't see those things? Here it is in front of you, the earthly things, and you're not believing it. How will you ever believe the heavenly things? So based on what we read, Nicodemus is not an individual that was completely consumed by Jesus. He was asking questions, but we don't read in the scriptures that he became a disciple. He listened, but he did not believe. A disciple of Christ is one who confesses Jesus' identity. They confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. A disciple of Christ is one who remains with him. They enter into a relationship with him. They follow in his footsteps. Just like Jesus was baptized in water, are we following in his footsteps? So going back to the dedication, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple and presented him to the Lord. We read later that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. What I learned from this is that infant baptism or infant dedication, whatever term you use, is completely different from water baptism. A disciple of Christ is one who tells others about Jesus. They can testify to the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the role of the Holy Spirit, the regenerator. To be regenerated by Holy Spirit, it's instantaneous. Have you ever had one of those conversations with somebody where you're talking and you're explaining and you're trying to get them to understand, but no matter how many times you explain it to them, they just aren't getting it? Have you had those conversations? Yep. You continue to explain, and you feel like you've really dumbed it down. And you're thinking to yourself, how much simpler can I make this? In frustration, the conversation might slowly end, or you just kind of part ways. It's like, okay, this person just is not getting it. And then, a few weeks later, years later, whatever the case may be, this person comes to you, and they talk to you about this change that's happened in their life, and they start explaining what's going on and all that they have learned. Basically, they're explaining this thing that they have to you. And what's happening is they're regurgitating back to you everything that you said to them a few weeks before or even a few years later. And it takes everything in you not to say, duh, that's the exact same thing that I said to you the last time we met, but you just chose not to listen. Again, this is what you want to say, but you refrain. But it's very clear that what's happened to this person is they've had what we sometimes call that light bulb moment. The light bulb in their mind, their heart, their soul has finally ignited. I believe this is how Holy Spirit works, the regenerator at work. We have people come into our lives, and we do our best to be the example of Christ to them. We love them. We serve them. We do everything that God is asking us to do. In essence, seed after seed after seed after seed is being planted. Often, we become a little bit discouraged, and we think to ourselves, do I stop? I'm just not seeing any growth from these seeds. Can I just stop planting? It's important to realize that had that seed never been planted, the person would never have heard. This person would not have had the opportunity to have a revelation from God. One day, they get it, and they have a Holy Spirit conversion. Holy Spirit has just regenerated them. This is an instantaneous conversion. What's happened is that you have planted the seed. Somebody else has come along, and they've watered the seed. We've heard about this many times where an individual will go overseas or they'll go into an area and they'll try and share the gospel and they're planting seeds and they're not seeing growth. And then all of a sudden you hear this story of, yeah, this person came in, preached the gospel and 5,000 people were saved. It's like, I didn't see one person come to know Christ when I was over there. But the thing is that you had the opportunity to plant seeds. What happened is this person came, they watered the seeds. God is the one who causes the seed to grow. We can't put a time frame on it. We trust that God, you're asking us to plant the seeds, so we will continue to plant the seeds. We'll trust that someone else, you'll bring somebody else into their path to water those seeds. And then it's God that will cause that seed to grow. So this person has just been born again. Holy Spirit, our regenerator. So what do I want you to take away from that? Don't stop planting seeds. Don't stop watering seeds. God is the one who will cause the seed to grow. To be regenerated by Holy Spirit means that our spirit has been regenerated. In each person, there is a body, a soul, and a spirit. When Paul was speaking to the church of the Thessalonians, he said, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." God is three parts: the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When we were created, God said, "Let us make man in our image." We were created body, soul, and spirit. Each one of us is made up of our physical material. This is our body. I'm able to look around and see a bunch of bodies in front of me. There is also the immaterial aspect of each of us. This is the part that we're not able to see. These things include our soul, our spirit, our intellect, our emotions. Well, maybe not so for me, because I think I wear my emotions on my sleeve. But our will. All of these things make up what we are not able to see. These things live beyond our physical body. Our soul and our spirit are connected. Our soul consists of our minds, our will, our emotions. Together, our soul and spirit make up what Scripture refers to as the heart. The heart is the seat of the emotions. So when we say to somebody, we need to invite Jesus into our heart, they're looking at us and thinking, you want me to take him into my blood-pumping muscle? That's not what we're referring to. Invite him into your soul and your spirit, the seat of the emotions. This is why in Hebrews 4:12, when we read that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. The soul and spirit can be divided. We have our will, and then we have God's will. This is why we refer to the Spirit being at work. Our spirit connects with God's spirit. Our spirit is led by Holy Spirit. Each one of our physical bodies at some point will die. When we look in Scripture, God is more concerned with the status of the heart. When we invite Holy Spirit, the Regenerator, into our heart, this is when the sanctification process begins. Wow, that's a really big word. I mean, that's not a word that we use every day. How many people use sanctification on a regular basis? It's not a word that we use regularly, but that doesn't mean that it's an irrelevant word. This word literally means to make holy. So, for example, many of us are doing our taxes right now. Prior to coming to Christ, when we were doing our taxes, we might have thought, I'll make an adjustment here, and I won't necessarily disclose this information, and I won't show this item. But when we come to Christ, it's like, no, I need to do things the proper way. This is the process of sanctification. This is God working things out in your life. You might be living with your boyfriend or girlfriend and engaging in sex, and before you come to Christ. And then you come to Christ and it's like, I got to stop these things. This is the process of God at work in your life, showing you and explaining to you and helping you to understand the importance of becoming holy. God is the one who shapes us. God is the one who molds us. God is the one who will transform us. So let me close with this illustration for you that has been adopted from an analogy from Charles Spurgeon. This might help us to understand the transforming work of God. If I were to set up a table over here, and on it I put this really high-end meal, like I'm talking the fanciest of meals created by a really popular and renowned chef. And then over here, I were to put a trough, and I fill it with slop, basically the same thing that a pig would eat. And then we would open the doors, and we would release a pig to come in here. Where do you think the pig would go? Exactly. He's going to go to the trough. Every single time, the pig is going to head towards the trough. He will go towards the slop in the trough. Why? He's a pig. This is what pigs do. That's just simply what they do. Now, if somehow, and now understand, this is a metaphor and an analogy. If somehow this pig was able to be miraculously transformed into a human being, he wouldn't eat the pig food anymore, would he? To do so, if he were to go over this, it would actually probably cause him to vomit. He would not be able to eat this food. Why do I share with you this story? If we have truly been converted to Christ, this analogy provides a glimpse of what our conversion looks like. When we allow God to change us, we are supernaturally changed. We go from being a sin-loving, righteous-hating pig to a sin-hating, righteous-loving human. Now, I don't want you to walk out of here and say, Pastor Chad just told us all that we're pigs. That's not the story that I'm wanting you to get out of this. What I want us to realize is the ugliness of sin. Before Christ, before the regenerating work of Holy Spirit, we were dead. Going back to the young man in the casket, I could do all sorts of work on him to recreate him and make him look as good as I want. The reality is, he's still dead. There is nothing that I can do to make him alive. You can come here this morning, you can listen to a sermon, but there's no amount of teaching that will make you alive. What makes you alive is taking what you have heard and applying it to your life. Going to church does not regenerate you. It's the work of Holy Spirit in you that regenerates you. So let's not think that we can hold on to our sin, our little sin, and we can coddle it, just like that little baby that comes out 7 pounds. Eventually they grow into a 200-pound person. The same thing is with sin. We can hold on to it, we can coddle it, and think it's okay, but eventually that sin is going to continue to grow because you continue to give life to it. Sin is sin. Sin kills, sin destroys. I'm not going to sit here and start naming out a bunch of different sins, because what can happen is you might sit there and think, oh, well, he didn't name the item that I'm struggling with, so it must not be so bad. I can just continue to hold on to this thing. You know, we all know exactly what it is that needs to be extracted from our lives. We know what God is asking us to change. And we invite Holy Spirit to come in, to recreate us, to do that work. Sin is sin, and sin separates us from God. The question for you this morning is this: are you inviting Holy Spirit into your life to be the regenerator? Father, I pray for every single person that is here this morning, that their heart would be open to hear from you. God, you know what you have been speaking into their lives. You know that what we call that little sin that we try to keep hiding, that thing that continues to destroy us, but we continue to hold on to it thinking, I'm okay, I'm okay. But God, that sin is separating us from you, and you are calling us into a relationship with you. The longer that we hold on to that sin, the longer that we let it stay here, the more it drives that wedge between you and us. Father, I pray for that person this morning, that they would confess that sin to you, that they would ask you, Holy Spirit, the regenerator, to come into their life, to transform their life, and that they would be recreated to become the person that you are calling them to be. I thank you this morning that we do have Holy Spirit, our regenerator, at work in our lives. And I pray that as we go forth this morning, as we go into our week, that we would understand and that we would know that we have Holy Spirit, our regenerator, with us everywhere we go, working with us, constantly recreating us, constantly changing us, shaping us to be the person that you are calling us to be. So, Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for how you continue to move in our hearts. And I pray that your hand of blessing would continue to be upon us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.